Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight, intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful. But when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Hi, I'm Hannah Brown and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you? Hey, Pookie.
Hey. Pookie is looking straight fire today.
Thank you. I have on my Valentine's Day red. Hey, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's early. Day.
I love you.
Love you back.
This episode is coming out on Valentine's Day. So we're talking all about love, our relationship. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining us today on Better Tomorrow. I've got my Pookie Bear on. And
you got your red shirt on.
I got my red. I love this red shirt. It's pretty
absolutely
cute, right?
Fire.
I asked you, I was like, is it a little too much? I'm wearing a heart necklace, but it's like,
no,
it's for Valentine's Day.
It looks great.
I'm going all out.
Yep.
But yeah, how are you?
I'm great. It's been a minute since we were here last.
I know.
Like, we had just moved to Nashville.
No.
I mean, when we did our podcast together?
No, we did a podcast after we got engaged.
Oh, that was the most recent.
That was the most recent.
I don't know. My mind is going back to like starting the banking job, getting to Nashville.
So much has changed.
So much has changed.
Oh, wow.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a really good way.
Yeah.
I feel like we are so much of a better place personally and as a couple, just like in our relationship, than we were the last time that we were on here together.
I agree. And it didn't happen by chance.
No.
We're actually putting some work in.
Yeah, so we kind of wanted to talk about that today because, you know, we got engaged at the end of last year, and people are always asking, like, when's the wedding? What are you doing? And honestly, we aren't planning a wedding.
We're not.
No. We really are, I feel like, doing it the right way. We're really focusing on getting ready for a marriage and kind of doing like supercharged premarital counseling, like super, super charged.
Yep.
and really just like working on our relationship and how we communicate with each other, how we can really like be a 1% couple.
Which is a big challenge.
Yeah.
Because as we've learned, 80% of couples are kind of doomed to fail, and not so much as like get divorced, but fail in that they don't have what we call a secure attachment relationship.
Yeah. No, we started working with this therapist, couples therapist, about end of, when did we start? December?
5 weeks ago.
5 weeks ago. Wow.
Yep.
And she has really like opened our eyes to just like so much when it comes to relationships and how like there's a lot of work that you have to put in to be a be in that 20% of couples that actually have a, not just like, what does she call it? Like a, what are the ones that are like stable? I think a lot of times it's like people think just like having a stable relationship is good, but like having like actually like a secure, safe relationship is really a small amount of couples.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of work and a growth mindset to get there. And I feel like we've been taking so much knowledge in and really like now trying to like put action behind it. So we kind of wanted to talk to you guys about all that we've learned, and we are by no means experts in this. Like it's been 5 weeks, but we've put in a lot of hours and had a lot of like really awesome conversations and have started putting in action steps. And I think we've already been able to see like a big difference, because I do feel like in 5 weeks, we are feeling like closer than ever, more connected, and really realizing how similar we are. I think for a while, I felt like we were so different. And I feel like maybe that manifested in different ways, but really the like some of our insecurities in relationship are really, really similar. And it's been cool to be able to realize how we can show up better for each other. I feel like why I wanted to talk more about this openly is because, and I'm interested to think what you thought as well, but like whenever you hear people doing like therapy, just in general, like therapy for yourself, it seems like, oh, there must be something going on. But when you hear people are like a couple is in therapy, you're like, oh, they must be on the brink of like, it's bad.
Yep.
And I feel like one thing that I like really feel strongly about is really believing that it should be a norm that people start working on their relationship before they have to actually save it. And really starting to talk more about that, because it's been interesting when I tell people, yeah, we were in therapy for this many hours. People are like, oh, great.
Something must be horribly wrong.
But like we're having these really long sessions and then going to lunch and dinner together and feeling like so connected. So it's just really been so life-giving for us. And yeah. I want people to like talk about that more, because I feel like it's getting better. I feel like people are realizing how important like learning how to communicate is for and understand ourselves, but also in relationship, but more about just like how important it is to be proactive in your relationship. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the stigma's, you know, slowly changing. I think you hear, like you said, couples therapy, and couples that are in couples therapy, you think there must be something totally wrong, but it can be preventative.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're doing things now before marriage so that we don't have these kind of issues when we're married. And it's like, it's locked in, we're married.
Yeah.
Like we have to make it work. So why not be proactive and start getting to the root of some of our challenges, both individually and as a couple, so that we can grow into marriage.
Yeah. Like, don't you feel like people, when they think of engagement, it's like happy, like, oh my God, it's the best time ever. But then as soon as you get into a marriage, you always hear like the first year of marriage is so hard. And you know, you become roommates and this and that. And it's like, okay, well, what if we flip the script and our first year of marriage is awesome and we kind of have all those harder conversations now so that like when we do get married, when we do have our wedding, like it truly is just like a full celebration of what we're going into and just like a full representation of like what our, what like the life that we've created with each other.
Yeah. And there's a lot of pressure for us. It's like, as soon as we got engaged, it's like, when's the wedding? When's it going to happen?
And that created so much anxiety.
A lot of anxiety, a lot of pressure, just a lot of just like, we got to get this done. We got to start planning. We got to give people a date. And like even the little posts I put out today of like me, I'm going to be on the podcast. What questions do you have? I got so many questions of like, when's the wedding?
Mm-hmm. And like, we're going to be, when that comes, I'm excited to share
for
it.
For sure.
But one thing I really realized about myself is, you know, I kind of felt a little bit of shame that I had like anxiety when we got engaged, because everybody thinks like that's like such a happy season and it should be like all these feelings. But learning a lot of my own, I don't think it's actually just me, but a lot of times when there's commitment jumps in a relationship, whether that's engagement, marriage, moving in together,
getting a dog,
having babies, when there hasn't been some of this, you know, when there's not a full secure attachment, sometimes that can be where you start to feel like a friction in a relationship.
Yeah, foundation starts to break.
Yeah, and it starts, you can see like, you know, okay, there's something like deeper here. And I think I felt that, obviously. But it wasn't because like anything that, like I felt connected to you and I loved you. I do love you, but there was something that really I needed to work on, and I needed to realize how I could like really show up in our relationship better and how we could like really be able to show up for each other. So,
and the more that we learn about attachment styles and like how we're both avoidant,
yeah,
and how those like big life events together can kind of cause both of us to like push away from each other.
Yeah. That was like one thing that just like what our therapist kind of is rooted in is that like relationship issues have to do with attachment theory and trying to understand like, you know, there's two types of attachments. There's either insecure or secure, but like in insecure, there's avoidant and anxious. And it really doesn't matter which one you are. I think it can help.
It's good to know which one you are.
But you're still insecure.
Right. The goal is to get from insecure to secure to regardless of if you're avoidant or anxious.
To be that 20%. But just from us being able to, we've been doing this work, we are both very avoidant. So we realize that a lot of times, like when there is friction, I told my friends this and they're like, whoa, this is so weird. Like, we don't really get in like fights. But the reason we don't get in fights is because we're both so avoidant. We
just, I stuff it down, you remove yourself.
Yeah. Until it gets to a place like we've just stuffed it down so far that we can come back and it's like we're over it, but it still needs to be addressed. And so we've been learning so much about how to show up for each other in those times, like our therapist, which I will definitely have.
She has to be on the podcast.
She's going to have to be on the podcast.
With both of us. And maybe Ryan.
Yeah.
Her husband.
Yeah. I think that'd be really cool. But she's just honestly like a godsend. She's changed her life.
Can we
already
say her name?
We can, but I.
You kind of want to keep her close.
I want to keep her close. Yeah.
Don't scare her away yet.
No, I think it'd be great for her to be able to tell her whole spiel because.
Sure. Yep.
As we've said, we've learned a lot, but
we're certified experts.
I want her to be able to like fully tell like what she does and what she's doing. But this is just us kind of like sharing what's really hit for us. But she's really helped us try to start having these conversations for when, not that we're getting in an argument, but when like a story is in our head. She calls it the story script. So I feel like people have heard this before, but like when people say like the story I'm telling myself, instead of just being like, he's an asshole, he's this, he's that, it's like the story I'm telling myself is that when you did this thing, it made me feel this way. And then being able to do that in a calm manner, and then allowing the other person to reassure and affirm our feelings, but then also kind of like share where that was coming from. And to be able to have this type of conversation has been incredible. Huge.
Huge for us.
Yes.
Huge for really anybody.
Yes. She says that that's like the one thing that like has saved the marriages that like that she has worked with. That she says the one thing that like if there was anything, if we can only pick one thing from what you shared with us that like has helped us so much is like understanding the story script, because it's small things. And it feels so dumb at first to be like, one of our story scripts is about me with the curtains. He didn't hang up these curtains. But it's small and you feel like, oh, like I shouldn't even say anything about this. But it's coming from, there's always a story under the story.
There's a lot underneath.
Yeah. Because
in the story, you know, it can go on for a long time. The story can be long, but it can go on for a long time. Yeah. It just builds and builds.
Yeah.
And we found the underlying meaning behind why you were so hurt by me not putting up the curtains when you wanted it.
Yeah.
Done. And it was like, oh my gosh, there is way more to your,
and it made
you
sense.
Being upset, and it made complete sense. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, so like this means a lot to you. That's great to know. And I'm so glad. So like when we do the story script, let's tell them about it. So like we have a piece of paper.
We have literally a piece of paper.
My script, person A and person B. And we go through it. Mm-hmm. And there's blanks where we fill in the blanks. Like, this is what happened. This is how it made me feel. These are the emotions that came up. And this is what I need reassurance from you for.
And it's very vulnerable. And we both realize because of just being a little bit more like feeling like dismissed sometimes, or like
just unseen.
Unseen. Yeah. That it's really hard for us to show up as the person A that says like, hey, when you didn't hang the curtains, because like it's vulnerable to be able to say like, this hurt me and it's making me feel like, she gives us like a word bank to even help. And I'm so glad we have the word bank to even like put words to how we're actually feeling. And I feel like that's so many people. That's probably been one of the biggest realizations that I've had. And I really want to talk about like the big realizations we've each had. But like with Adam, and even like the anxiety and stuff that I have, a lot of times I don't have words for it. Like, I know I have a need that's not being met.
But you just default to like anxiety.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there is actually a need. And a lot of times I'll say, and I've got to work on this even for you guys. Like, I'll be like, I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. There's a need that needs to be met. I do need to work on learning how to really know what my needs are. And that comes from working on my self-esteem, which I've been like really diving into. Like, that's been one of my biggest realizations is like, when you don't have high self-esteem, and a lot of people might think, oh my gosh, Hannah, I would think you'd have high self-esteem. Like, because of some of the situations that I put myself in.
And your achievements.
And my achievements. Yeah. But like, even getting to the root of that, it's like a lot of the situations I've put myself in, I didn't actually have autonomy. Because if I had autonomy over myself, that would mean I could have like self-trust, and I don't have self-trust. And when you don't have that self-efficacy and worth established within yourself, like obviously that creates so many problems of just like your personal life. But when it goes into your relationship, there's so many times that there's all these confirmation biases that I have about my worth and who I am, that I'm going to continue patterns of proving that right rather than being happy and realizing that like happiness anxiety is a real thing. Because it doesn't match the story that I've told myself about who I am. And that has been so big. Now, do I have like all the tools and like have I fully like rewired that part of my brain? Absolutely not. But being able to fully like see the big picture of it and like the roots underneath and where all that comes from has been I mean, I have 4-hour therapy sessions.
Let's go, Pookie.
But it's been really cool and eye-opening to be able to like see that not only that like we have to work together, but like we're both doing our own individual work and then being in a space and learning how to share that with each other in a way that like the other person can be there and support and allow you to feel seen. Cause like that, I feel like for a little while I was like, I've been in therapy for a long time and I maybe would uncover something, but I didn't know how to actually tell you and you didn't know how to show up and make me feel seen and safe for sharing that. So at then all. I would either pull back or feel so misunderstood. And I want to say one thing. I know I'm just like, I feel like I'm on a roll.
No, you're killing it.
Like I said, I've been in therapy for a long time and I feel like I've read so many books and so many things. And I remember when we went to our first therapy session, I said, I'm just like kind of over therapy. And it's not that I don't think that it was good. And I don't think that my therapists in the past were bad. I think they were great human beings and had wanted to help me. But I do feel like there is a little bit of, there could be some work in the system of how people like in therapy, just in general, like there's a lot of passive therapy. Like our therapist has talked about this. She is not passive at all. And some people would like not like that, but she's really like, it's immersive therapy and it's helped in 5 weeks so much. But I just want to say to people who are feeling like where I felt like 5 weeks ago, five weeks is like, you are not broken. Mm-mm. You're not damaged and it is not you. And you just don't have the right help yet. And it's okay to switch therapists. It's okay to find a different route. There are some books that are not helpful. And I know that feeling when like you read a book and you close it and you're like, my feel actually like shit still. So that was great, but I don't know how to apply this to my life. I know what it's like to go to a therapy session that's a 40-minute therapy session and feel like I've just like opened up this wound. And now I'm when it hit minute 39.
Oh, time's up.
Time's up. Sorry. And it's like, I feel so open and exposed and feeling like, oh, I feel worse than I did when I left. Like, I know what that feels like. And I just like want, and I know not just what that feels like, but what stories you start playing in your head of like, oh, this just might not work for me.
It's just got to be me.
It has to be me. And it's,
I'm defective.
It is not. And I wish everybody could have our therapist, but also I think there is help out there, but you can change. You can find somebody who can help you and give you the right help and you're not broken. And that's been one of the biggest
realizations for me. That's a big aha moment.
Yeah.
That you're not broken. You're not defective. You just haven't had the right help.
Yeah. Yeah. So what about you? What do you feel like has been like a big realization for you?
I feel like I've had more aha moments in the last 5 weeks than I have in a long time.
Because
about me and about us.
Yeah, but like I also you can kind of tell, we've kind of talked about this in our other podcast together, but like we've both done our own type of work. But this is your first time to really fully go into therapy. You had started going to therapy, like you had like one or two sessions before we decided to do couples, but you had put yourself into fully submerge yourself into a lot of different things that were kind of helping mask everything. So like, how has this been different than some of the other ways that you've tried to like, I would say cope?
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, I got really big into meditation. I got really big into yoga. All of that was kind of a way for me to.
You've read all the books.
I've read a lot of books.
So many books.
I just went on this endless journey of searching for purpose, but also just like running away from potential disappointment. So I was in a very serious relationship, beginning of college. I got cheated on. It didn't work out. I felt very just like rejected and abandoned. And that plays a lot to my attachment story. So like I'm an avoidant attachment style. So that means I pull away whenever I feel like I'm going to be abandoned. So that has kind of played throughout my life. And it played out in college when I got broken up with and got my heart broken. It played out when I left my banking job the first time. I felt rejected. You know, I was given a job at the new bank, but it was kind of like, you know, here's this. This is what we have. It's not what you really want. So I was kind of like, oh, I don't need that. And then I went on this like endless search for meaning and purpose in this world. And that involved a lot of masking my emotions in terms of, you know, doing yoga every single day, meditating for hours on end, kind of holding myself up in my studio apartment in both Dallas and in Chicago before I made it to LA. And like, I hung with friends every now and then, but I like walled myself up so that one, I couldn't get hurt, and two, so I couldn't hurt somebody else. So like my relationships with women were very just kind of surface level. I didn't let it go too far to where I could hurt them or vice versa. So the big aha for me was like, you got to get to the root of like what's happening, mm-hmm. what's going on inside that's causing you to be this avoidant and to avoid, sharing anything about your life with another individual.
Then, yeah. So, but then how did you get to me and be able to like, even, because I feel like to an extent you opened up, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't have gotten to where we are. And I feel like you were definitely like, you pursued me quite a bit at the beginning.
For
but
sure.
What if, like, what do you feel like was happening there? Like, what have you learned in therapy from that?
Well, coming into a relationship with someone who's so well known, there was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of pressure to be buttoned up, to be perfect, to make it seem like I had everything together. Because if I didn't, then the fear of abandonment would really come up because I was so exposed. It was like everybody can see me in my relationship now. And that felt very unsafe. So what I did was put on this mask of like invincibility, of like being your rock and never showing weakness. Having it all together always, being perfect, obviously not perfect, but striving for perfection so that you wouldn't see the real me and abandon me. Mm-hmm. And then that rejection that comes with it being public was a lot to bear. But what I've found in therapy is that in terms of attachment, like you can't relate to perfection. You can't relate to this robotic atom that I kind of created as a self-protecting mechanism. And once I started sharing in therapy, once I started like really being vulnerable, and I've said this so many, I hate the word vulnerability because I think it's overused, but vulnerability is so important.
Mm-hmm. Well, because people don't really know it. I mean, I feel like vulnerability is also overused. And I know people would say to me, I remember like somebody that was on my team would be like, your vulnerability is your superpower. And I was like, yes, it is. But really, and I was like, yeah, it is. But it actually wasn't, because I didn't actually know what the definition of being vulnerable is. And I feel like our therapist has made it really clear, like being vulnerable is feeling and being safe and seen at the same time. There's a lot of times I felt safe and there's a lot of times I felt seen. But at the same time, I've now had moments, but that was also like a huge revelation of like,
yep.
I don't think I've ever felt that. And like, I love you. I know you've supported me, but I think sometimes where I felt like you've seen me and seen me at my weakest, I still didn't fully feel safe.
Yep.
But, and then sometimes I felt safe, but I wasn't fully showing the deep roots of everything.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. So like I went on this like masculine, feminine polarity kick, and
I don't want you to say kick, because I feel like you did learn a lot.
I learned a lot. Yeah. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But in terms of a relationship, mm-hmm. if you go with the idea of like, I need to keep this masculine frame. I need to not show emotion. I need to not share. I need to keep it all together. Then the connection will not be there, because you can't connect to someone who doesn't share fears, doubts, emotions, realness. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't being real. I was like, yes, I was listening to you. I was holding space for your vulnerabilities, but I wasn't reciprocating it in any way. You know, I gave you just enough to like, okay, he's showing me a little bit here, but
he didn't tell me about, like, he wouldn't talk about his past relationships with me. He wouldn't talk about.
Because that would expose a
weakness or insecurity.
Insecurity of myself. Yeah.
And then maybe I would question something about you, or
you're defective. Yeah. I'm going to abandon you. Like, that was the story that played in my mind.
But what I feel like we've learned from this, like having these conversations, is like kind of what Adam's saying. Like, for me, I felt like cuckoo crazy because I got to a point, it's just with everything, that like I couldn't fake it anymore. So like I was like, I am such a mess. But think about like if when you're like, I'm feeling so bad, you're crying, and then somebody just is like rubbing your back going, there. And you know, they're like trying, like they're trying to be there.
And you're like, you don't feel this at all.
But they're just like kind of uncomfortable, but you know, they're trying. So you can't be like mad at them because like they're doing their best. And then you'd be like ungrateful because at least you have somebody that's like rubbing your back and patting you. That's sometimes how I felt. Is like Adam really did show up perfectly. Like you're always there for me. But there's always a story under the story. And a lot of times you would like be able to console me in a point that I could be like, he consoled me. He's here for me. But it was like that connection of being able to feel like, oh, like you felt the way I felt before, or like, oh, you struggle with these fears of abandonment or not being good enough, or being unlovable or a burden. Like that is what connects someone.
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of men struggle with this of like being able to like show up for their partner because of like what is being reiterated to men from the very beginning. It's like, get up, wipe off your all the dirt and get up. Don't cry. Don't show emotion. Be strong. And like, yes, like be strong, but like actually what will connect you to your partner more is being able to show up for her and show yourself too.
And there's so much strength in being seen.
Yeah.
And being seen and making connection because of it.
Because vulnerability actually is a superpower when you know how to do it.
Yep.
And that will make you like that superhero. Mm-hmm. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/HannahB. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HannahB for 25% off. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner advanced rides, feel-good DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride, perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. I love my Peloton bike. I've had one since 2020, and I feel like it really got me through some of those dark days and kept me active. I love the instructors. They get me so hype when they have like awesome soundtracks that really just keep the fun, the excitement up as we're sweating it out and getting better every day. Wherever you're starting, get moving with Peloton Bike or Bike Plus Rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. What else have we learned?
Oh, compatibility.
Yes.
Yep.
So I actually talk about this a little bit in my book, my first book, about me recognizing like the people that I had like these crazy sparks with as I like was writing about my life. I'm like, these all are interesting because these all didn't end up very, like they didn't turn out very well. And kind of already putting together that like a lot of that spark feeling was anxiety, but our therapist really gave us more like science backing that. And then also just like clarity of like what makes a relationship last work? Like what is important? Like is chemistry, is sparks? Are they important or is it something that you disregard? What even is compatibility? And like one of her truths that she says that I feel like I've really clung to and it's been a big realization for me is compatibility is an achievement, not a precursor. Because there's so many people. And I know like when I was single or when I see my friends being single, there's so many times we like count people out because you didn't feel this certain thing or they didn't like match this certain part of you or
I didn't get butterflies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And compatibility is really something that you have to work on and not just like understanding that like sparks equal anxiety, but it actually is like a familiarity. Do you remember her talking about like we get our definition or we know what love is from what love meant in our childhood? And if the love we feel doesn't match what we felt when we were a child, then we'll reject them. But if it feels like that love, that's when we have like the strongest connection, mm-hmm. chemistry, the
sparks.
And the sparks. And look, I first want to say, like, I love my parents and I know they love me. And I know you love your parents and we love your parents and they love you, but we all have childhood wounds and our parents were imperfect and they didn't always show up the way we needed them to. And I know in my house there was love was chaotic and not always safe, not safe. And was kind of sometimes a gambling machine, sometimes there was, sometimes not, wasn't always steady. And so a lot of the relationships that I felt that they were the ones that I felt like, oh my gosh, we just have this intense chemistry and it's just palpable. But it makes so much sense. So I'm like, yes, because that, even though they didn't have the characteristics of my parents, maybe we didn't, those feelings were the same feelings that I had when it came to like feeling loved, recognized, valued, seen as a child. And so you have to kind of like make the choice. And sometimes it's like a subconscious choice. We are pulled to, well, if you don't do the work, like you're pulled to subconsciously choose what's familiar. And we're always like, if you do that, you're not going to be your parents. You're going to be like a little bit better version of your parents. But with Adam, you are so unfamiliar. That's not the way our love is at all, or how you show up for me. So like, I was a little confused at first. And I've talked about that in podcasts past, but like what compatibility is something that you work on and you grow together. And if you both have a growth mindset, which we both have, like that's when you can have an amazing, like amazing love.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say to that?
I mean, you kind of said it all. That was great.
Yeah.
I was just kind of admiring you when you were saying all that. But it's so true. I think compatibility is definitely something that you can work toward and achieve. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that necessarily needs to be there right off the bat and to feel all that, those anxious emotions. And,
yeah.
Because what we've learned is that in order to like rewire and not become like our parents are great. To have a love that we are like really, really proud of, mm-hmm. we have to start rewiring our brain. We have to start making mismatches. And
what are mismatch moments?
Do you want to explain the mismatches?
Do you want me to?
Kinda.
Because you got to make them more. So mismatch moments. So we're learning like I just said, like we get our definition of love from our childhood. A lot of us want to change that. We don't want to have the same exact relationship as our parents. We want to be better. I feel like we're the first generation that's really had the information to change too. I think our parents did like the very best they could, but like nobody was talking about attachment theory or it's sharing your emotions. So we're wanting to be better. And so we have to learn how to like rewire our brain and we'll have her on and she'll explain all the actual like scientific actual stuff that's going on in the brain. But basically there are certain ways that we can like work to rewire that part of our brain. And like mostly it's reps, doing all these things over and over and over again and putting in the work that I feel like we've been doing and making it really intentional. But one of these things is like a mismatch detector that she says. And so like our homework is to create mismatch moments for each other, and it helps us rewire that, like, you know, love is constant, or, hey, like for both of us, especially for me, like sometimes physical touch, I'm like, get away from me. But learning how like a mismatch moment would be me like really leaning into Adam and giving him like a little bit of a longer hug than I normally would, and like really allowing for that when you're in a hug to like rest in somebody's arms, that would be like a mismatch moment. Or when Adam walks through the door, like dropping everything to like welcome him in instead of like I feel like when you probably walk in the door, I like have my hair on the side of my head, I'm like doing four things at one time, and I'm like trying to make dinner, I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
But like really like taking the time to like be present. What would you say is another mismatch moment?
I think those are the only two we've learned so far. But no, like
more like
the notes.
Notes, yep. Like making out.
Just like, hey, hey, I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
You're not a burden. Your anxiety is not too much for me.
Yeah.
And just like reaffirming the new story that we're creating for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, our homework also was like send each other texts at like certain times when we're not together to just reassure and to help continue to change and rewire the story that we both like have thought was true about ourselves. So that's kind of like the small but big things that we do to really connect.
Yeah, it's been going great.
It's been going so great. Like
it's energizing. I thought 4-hour therapy sessions were going to be draining. And yes, I mean, you get tired every now and then. But like, I feel energized after them. I'm like, we are making some serious progress.
Yes.
In actually changing our relationship for the better.
Yeah.
But also like changing ourselves individually and making ourselves just more lovable. Yeah. And like just better people.
And like we've had some really emotional, like hard conversations in front of each other that we normally wouldn't have. And like really breaking down both emotionally. And it's so weird because a lot of times you feel like so embarrassed or upset or like, what is the other person thinking? But that is when we have both felt the most like attached and I feel like in love with the other person when you see them like doing this really hard thing and really going into like the basement of all the things that you are ashamed of or
and there's a lot there's a lot down in that basement. I have been shoving stuff down in my basement for a long time.
That's why we have 4-hour sessions. But it's been so cool to be able to watch your person go there and to feel all those feelings and then to like start rewriting that and then out of the session see how they're showing up differently for not just you but for themselves. It's been so cool.
Yep.
And I'm just like so excited that we're doing this together. And you know, the wedding planning will come. And I think it's going to be so much more fun now.
100%.
It's going to be the best.
It's almost like, it almost hurts to think about like if we didn't start this and we started wedding planning, it wouldn't be
the same.
It wouldn't be the same.
So I love you.
Love you back.
Where am I engaged, girls? Congrats. You're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get designs, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy and hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves. But sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. Well, we asked some questions, or we asked on my social media, and you asked on your social media too, like for you guys to send in some questions. So Andrew, producer Andrew, is going to pick some random ones and we're going to answer them as best as we can. Like we said, we're 5 weeks in, pros, but
you guys do sound like pros though. That was a really cool conversation.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I feel like I learned a lot.
Nice.
I'm excited.
Well,
to
we've learned, I think it's really exciting to share something that has been so impactful for us with other people. Like,
totally.
There's just a passion behind it because we're like, oh my gosh, our lives have changed so quickly and so deeply from just having the right information.
And we've always loved sharing things that work for us, but usually it's a gadget or something or a new drink.
Sure.
But now this,
more
this
hair
is,
care, you know,
this but, is just yeah. so it's so much more transformative that I think it really gets us going and it energizes us to speak about it and to tell people about it.
Yeah. Cause I think we both felt so much shame for being wait, we love each other. I found my person. I want to make this work, but there's still some stuff here. And do I just press it? Do we just shove it down? Cause we're good for each other. But I think that's how a lot of people feel sometimes.
Yep.
And to be able to be in a place where it feels, I feel in 5 weeks, confident enough to start sharing our story. And of course there's things that we'll continue to share once we feel more comfortable in doing this work.
But yeah,
it's what I would want. I would want to know that first of all, I'm not alone for needing help and knowing that there's ways that even though I've chosen my partner, he's awesome, I'm awesome, but there's ways that we can learn to communicate and be able to make our relationship the 20%, because unfortunately the statistics are not great and not I don't want to be a statistic.
And you as a couple, you can check all the boxes. You can both have a great job. Mm. You can both be, somewhat fulfilled, alone. You can have a great family or the great upbringing. And then there's just something there that just not allowing you guys to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we kind of started feeling that, in the last couple months leading up into therapy and uncovering all of that was that was the missing piece.
Mm-hmm.
We really had to get down in there and clear all that out before we could fully connect and show up for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
I feel like it's inspiring to see that it can happen in, just over a month. You can make legitimate progress. I feel like the fear of therapy, especially couples therapy, is I'm embarking on a journey that's going to be 6 months before we're able to actually feel like we accomplished something.
And most therapies probably would take that long.
And that's
if not longer.
But that's what our therapist says. She's like, we're not going to be doing this for 6 months. Now, like we said, we're having long sessions.
Sure.
But it's immersive. And she is there with us in it. And it's we're not going to be in the same place. I mean, in like we said, in the amount of time, how much we've shifted, that would have not been possible with a once a week 40-minute session. It just wouldn't have been. Unless you're doing a lot of work outside. And I do think you could do that. Cause look, I know we're super privileged to be able to do what we're doing. Therapy is expensive and there should be better access. That's a whole soapbox. But I think the importance is when two people the two people in the relationship are both we want to do this. We want to figure this out. You can find the help and there are workbooks and there are things you can do. And when I do have our therapist on, she even has online courses and things that she does that are the exact things we're doing. So
yep.
I just want her to explain it all before I share. But I think it's really important and it can change quickly.
Yeah. Let's get into some questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So the first one, you kind of mentioned your default is anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And how does Adam support you when you're feeling especially anxious?
I mean, I think the way that he's showing up different is just saying that I'm not a burden, because that's one of my big stories, is that like my mental health and not being okay and not being able to put on the show anymore sometimes is such a burden for other people. And that's in all my relationships, I feel like, but especially with my partner sometimes. I feel like, why would he want, you know, my story was like, why would somebody want to be with me? Like, I need to push him away to save him. And so the way that he's been supporting me even more than he already was, because I feel like you were showing up for me, but reminding me that my anxiety is not a burden to you.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-step process. It's, you know, holding space for your anxiety and for your worries, your doubts. And just being there while you're telling me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, it's reassuring that, you know, what you're feeling is valid. What you're feeling makes sense to me. And like validating you and being like, oh my gosh, I can totally see why you would feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the majority of the time I can. I'm like, it and makes sense why you would feel that way.
That's been the other key, is like you being able to say that shifted. Is that you will now be like, I know what that feels like, or I felt that sadness before, or, and then sharing a little bit of yourself when I'm in like my vulnerable messiness, that you're saying, not that I'm asking you to fully go there with me and be a blubbering mess, but to remind me that like you have felt all these feelings before too.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Sharing more.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing just to share.
Yeah.
Because that's how we connect.
Yeah.
And that's not what I did growing up.
No.
Hmm. Next.
So you guys in the very beginning were talking about when you're avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
And so when an argument would start to come up, you both kind of have your own way of avoiding that argument. How have you learned to have productive arguments?
That's still something that we're learning, of how to actually have an argument, disagreement. It's funny, we were talking about this a little bit. Was it last night? Like, we both have been in relationships where we have had fights.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that we've both gotten to this place where we don't really have arguments.
Can I say what I think it is?
Yeah, I would love for you to.
I think because we're both avoidant, that's what we did in the past. We would just avoid the confrontation. But I think now that we're being more secure in our relationship and we're still avoidant, I think we're just both more mature now.
Mm-hmm.
That we can see it kind of building up, and we can kind of regulate inside and then have a conversation.
The story script.
The story script is huge, because it almost like puts the other. So like if I say, babe, we need to do the story script. So I'm person A, and I have something going on inside that I need to get out. Whenever I grab that story script, it almost puts her nervous system like at ease.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes her calm and like, okay, we're about to talk about something that's serious and that we both need to be present for.
And we both want to work through it. Like, right. We're not wanting this to turn into something
festering.
Yeah. Like, we want to do it right now. And I think that's another part of it, is not letting it go. And even if it feels small and stupid,
we've learned that there is no small and stupid.
No.
Because
yeah.
It can eventually get to big and serious.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, we both need that. So there's nobody else that's like rolling their eyes. It's like, all right, I don't know where this is going, but like, obviously this is bothering you, and we would both rather it not turning to something big.
And when we grab the story script now, it's almost exciting. It's like, ooh, what you got for me?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah,
it's not. It's
you
not
just
this
got
big,
triggered,
scary
huh?
animal elephant in the room. It's like, ooh, this can be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so two follow-up questions. how do you know when it's time to do like the story script? Is there like, if I'm understanding correctly, you're feeling a certain type of way inside mm-hmm. that you haven't expressed.
Yep.
And then you initiate that and you guys walk through like.
So an example is sometimes when something's festering, we'll both make like some type of like joke about it. And the therapist asked us about, she's like, one thing we haven't talked about is your dog. And we started talking about, I was like, yeah, well, Wally likes him more. And he goes, yeah, I guess he does. Yeah, he does. And I immediately was like, you're an asshole. And she was like, whoa. Like,
what? There's something. I think there's something there.
And I know. She's like, why did you just call him asshole? And I'm like, I don't know. But it's because I feel like I can't always show up for Wally the way Adam does. And Wally also represents kids in the future. And it's like actually this deep thing of me feeling like I can't show up the way that I need to show up. And therefore, if something were to happen with me and Adam, Wally would choose him. If we had kids, I wouldn't actually be a good mother. Like, it's actually this deep thing. Wow. So recognizing.
So that's her story.
So that's my story, that I don't feel like I'll be able to show up the way that I need to for my children, or that I, so, and if I can't even take care of a dog, then how would I ever be able to have kids? Like, it's
wow.
So there.
So grabbing the story script, we are breaking that story down, destroying it. And then I'm basically validating her and reassuring her that that's a valid, you know, feeling to have.
Valid feeling, but also that like Wally loves me. And yeah. If when Wally needs comfort and like wants mm-hmm. to, like when we're going to bed at night, he lays by me. But like Wally loves playing with Adam, because Wally, like, I mean, because Adam will really get in there with Wally, and like, that's not really my
yeah.
thing.
Everybody has something to, you both yeah. have something to offer.
And so it was so healing, but it's kind of like, obviously I reacted with, you're an asshole, after he just said something like was agreeing with me.
So when you're at home and you're not in therapy and it's like, that emotion comes up, or an emotion like that, mm-hmm. you have to have the awareness to say, I got to get the story script, because there is something, there's layers to this that I have to now explain. Yes.
Not even correct. The awareness, but like also the courage to say.
Sure. Yeah, but I will say like, we wouldn't have been able to do that without Jordan, you know. And we're still like, we're fumbling around with the story script. We have not figured this yeah. out. There's still like the other night we had one when Adam's doing like this awesome new job, which I want to talk about at some point, but really like more aligned with what he wants to do. But we were talking about, he was trying to share like, all right, I think I'm going to take this new position. And something came up, because I have like another story that I felt was kind of coming in. I felt like he fully wasn't sharing as much, because he didn't know how. I'm like, we knew there was like these feelings there. I don't know if we fully did the story script right, but we were trying. Like we're trying.
Totally.
And I just want to reiterate, like we're 5 weeks in. We're so we got the story script 2 weeks ago. We're still like fumbling through it, but it does help that we have the support that we have to kind of get through it. And then even just trying, I mean, it makes the other person feel seen, I think.
For sure. Fumbling through it is still better than not yeah. even addressing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then one other follow-up from okay. a couple questions ago. You're mentioning nothing is too small. There's no such thing as a too small of a argument or issue. How do you get past, I feel like a common thought is that if you're constantly bringing up all of these little things, that gets exhausting. And it feels like we're always addressing this tiny little, you said this and it made me feel that way, as opposed to, yeah, I guess I feel like the natural default is to like let that build into something that's like substantial enough to be brought up. Yeah. How do you get past the quote unquote exhaustion of constantly bringing up little things?
Well, I think the thought is, because I
I feel like we kind of had that same thought and conversation is like, there won't always be all these small things, but we have 36, 29 years of stuff that's been like pent up inside of us and never had the tools to communicate. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of small things at first.
Yep.
Because these stories are so deep rooted. I mean, that story about Wally, me having that one little comment was something so deep that I think I'm a burden. The whole anxiety, like me sharing my anxiety, is because I feel like it's a burden. Like that's such a heavy, deep story that comes in all the time. So the more that we like, every time it comes up, like denounce it and like speak truth into each other, the less that's going to keep happening. But at first, when you first start, yeah, there's going to be-
It seems overwhelming. It seems like you're doing it all the time.
And you're like, okay, I know I have
really
a story.
Do we really need to do it?
And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
But our therapist even says like her and her husband, they rarely have to do it anymore because they're just, they're so like in sync now. Mm-hmm.
And but they still do.
They still do it for sure. And, you know, probably with big things, but it's less frequent the more that you do it. And the more that you do it, it gets easier and it just kind of in normal conversation.
Yeah.
Instead of like getting out the sheet of paper, sitting down and like.
But I think the sheet of paper is so critical.
For us now.
For us now. Yeah. So it's not like, because sometimes do you have, I feel like for us, sometimes like trying to resolve the situation when you don't have the right help does more harm than good, because following the story script makes sure that we're saying things more clear and concise. We have a vulnerability feelings word bank so that we are.
I feel rejected. I feel stupid.
It's not like, and even how we approach the situation of bringing it in, a lot of times people will be like, it's important that when you're talking about the whatever story is coming up and what actually happened, that it's like somebody could be filming you, could see everything that's happened. Cause a lot of times we'll be like, when I said something about the dog and you were kind of short with me and distant, it's like, well, you can't really see that that he was disconnected or something with me. It's really being like, when I said the comment about the dog and you agreed with me, it made me feel these ways. But like, I think I would try to do my own version of the story script before I had it, but I was not doing it the right way. Hmm. Wouldn't I was like, oh, I think I've done this before. I try to do this, but he doesn't really respond. It's
you were a lot better than I was.
But I think it's important to like actually know how to do it. And I feel like we could talk about this like on and on. And, you know, if you guys are like interested of hearing more about not just like our relationship, but how to show up in your relationship and just also like how to show up for yourself, I feel like we could have more conversations about what we're learning.
We'll have updates.
And also like I said, very clear that it would be awesome to have our therapist on and I could share her with you guys. So thanks for coming on and doing this with me today.
Thanks for having me. Happy Valentine's Day to you and to everyone out there.
Yeah. And we love you guys and we hope you feel loved today and feel seen and safe. Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our producer is Andrew Stalmer. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Nexco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that's legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.